Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, my friends, what if they just took your financial freedom completely away? What if, out of nowhere, your boss just shut the company down? You think it could ever happen? I've seen it happen to many people. What if they just decided to shut down your division? I've seen that happen to many people. You know, what happens if that happens? Well, I'll go get another job. But what if you have a job that isn't really a job? So what do you mean by that? Well, let's talk about all the people who work for the government. The government is considered to be one of the safest jobs to have out there. It's been said, you know, hey, I've worked hard my whole life to get this government job because this is safe and secure. Nothing goes wrong with a government job. The government's always going to be there. And then kaboom, 35 days without government paychecks. Wow. So maybe even the government jobs aren't that safe. And if the government job, which was and has been, always has been considered the creme de la creme, the top of the line, the handout gimme job of the world, if it goes away, what do you do? Well, what can you do? What does the government workers actually do? You know, I was thinking about the other day, going, what do TSA people actually do? I actually go through the line, I look at them, I go, okay, they're there for some reason. What do they actually do? Right? Then you go through and you look at everything else the government workers do. You go to the post office. It just blows your mind. You stand in line, long line. They're rude. They don't get stuff done very effectively. They lose your packages, you know? And you say, do we really need the government and the government jobs? Now, I'm throwing this in just to stimulate you a little bit, just to kind of stick it to you, that no job, no matter who you think you are, no matter what job you have, is that important? Well, of course it is. I'm a brain surgeon. Yeah. And if you were gone, not that much would change. I've always believed this reality of take a glass of water, stick your finger in it. Now pull the finger out and what do you have? Nothing. Nothing changes. The world just fills in behind you. People die every day. Thousands of people die every day. The world just keeps going on. When I die, I leave nothing. Nobody will miss me. You say, well, somebody will miss you. Nah, not really. They don't. It doesn't really work that way. The reality is you're on earth to live, to give, to produce. And as long as you're there living, giving, and producing, then people know who you are. When you stop living, giving, and producing, nobody really cares. So why am I bringing all this negativity up here on this fine, fine day? Well, because the government shutdown has left me thinking, what if all these people had their own way of earning money? What if everybody had a side gig? What if everybody had passive investments? Say, well, why can't they have passive investments? Well, I'll tell you why they can't have passive investments. I know a lot about that. What happens when you desire something more than something else? Then you go get it. So the people that want the security of have passive streams of income, they go get it. The people that don't get it. I have a situation where this family that I was trying to help, they have no money to invest. The reason they have no money to invest is because they think their kid needs to go to private school. And so their kid goes to private school. It's all great. They love it. Kid gets good grades. But they're broke. They're absolutely broke. In fact, they're screaming and crying and moaning that life is unbelievably tough. It's unfair. Well, it's only unfair because you should send your kid to private school. If you stop sending your kid to private school, you wouldn't have that problem. And by the way, the money you're spending on private school, if you would have bought passive streams of income with that money, now the money that came out of the passive streams of income could be used to send your kid to private school. But it's which one comes first? What is the most important decision? Is financial security more important than having what you want when you want it right now? Instantaneous gratification. Then you're going to be broke and you're going to be struggling the rest of your life. If it's not, if you're conservative like I am, where you said, you know what, I'd like to have these nice things, and I have nice things, but I better be financially secure before I get them. So I set out with the goal of increasing my income. You know, you have your base pay. I'd love to get paid more. I'd love to have a better job when I was working out there in America. I wanted to get paid more at my job. Everybody wants to get paid more at their job. I wanted a better job. Everybody wants a better job. But while I was going through and doing all that wishing and wanting and spitting in one hand and watching a tree grow in the other, I also went out and saved money. And while I saved money, I then went and invested and bought single-family rent houses. And all of a sudden, I had $200. And then the next month, I had $800 a month positive cash flow. And then it went up another house and $1,000. And then it just kept growing. And it was $1,500. Then it was $2,500. You know, and it just kept going till one day I was making more from my passive streams of income. 2.5 years later, not one day later, not 1 week later, not 1 month later, 2.5 years later of working, saving, living without fun stuff, I was able to put away enough money to buy enough single-family rent houses to produce as much income as I produced on my earned income, which inevitably doubled what I was making in earned income because I had my earned income and my passive income. And I could have kept doing that, but I said, you know, I think I'd rather just go ahead and live on the passive income. Because what I saw was that I spent so much time working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. For me, I worked in the health club industry. I had to get up at 9. I had to be there at 9, and we left at 9. Or you work the 10 till 10 shift if you worked later. You work Saturday 10 to 6, Sunday 10 to 6 if you had to work an extra day. And we worked anywhere from 5 to 6 days a week. And so I had no time for life, which really kind of helped me because I had nothing to spend money on. All the money I made, I saved because there's really nothing to do when you're working all the time. But irrespective of that, I saved the money and I started investing. And so as later on, we get in this thing here later today about what I'm seeing happen today and the seminar that I just came away from this last week, I see that young people have that same decision. And some young people get it, like I did. I retired by 34 years of age. And some people don't get it. They're 74 years of age, they still can't retire. It's all about what do you do first. If you buy the investment properties first, you're then going to be able to have any of the fun things you want in life because the investment property is going to pay for them. But if you don't, then you'll never have any money. If you don't have any money, then you won't have any investment properties. You don't have investment properties, you have no financial security. And then when the government shuts down, or your job shuts down, or your company goes out of business, or any of those things, or you get sick, you get hurt, you can't work, whatever it is that impedes your ability to earn a living, when those things get shattered, you have nothing to fall back on. And you say, well, I'll just fall back on welfare. Well, guess what? Even today, with the government shut down, there's not even any welfare. They've got the welfare shut down. Man, what do these people do now? What do these people do that have been living on a shoestring their entire life? And you take out that safety net below them. Think, it's everybody else's fault that they don't have the safety net. No, it's their fault they don't have a safety net because they don't even have a first net. And they're living on a safety net. And they should do something about that. What do you do? And my suggestion to you is that it's quite simple. You have some other way for you to earn money. And I was looking at it the other day because it was that time of month again where I get my checks all in. And it's just mind-boggling because I do this little thing where I get all the checks in. I add them all up, put them in a deposit them all in the bank. I then also go and look at all my online accounts to where I've made money in all different businesses that don't actually send me checks, right? They just deposit money in my bank account, and I have to go dig it up and find out where I've made money from this business or from that business and so forth. And I add it all up, and I have a spreadsheet, and I keep track of it. So I see how much I make each month, and I track it. Very specifically, I track everything, every one of my businesses, every one of my investments, I track. And so I go through this thing once a month, and I guess you could call it, I go to work once a month for a day or two. It takes me to clean everything up and to track everything down and analyze what I've made and make my decisions if I'm going to make any changes in what my financial position is. I was actually looking at something today. I saw an investment I really liked. It was a car wash. I thought, man, and it, the numbers, it's something I'd never seen. It was a brand new opportunity I'd never seen. The numbers looked really good, and it would diversify my portfolio a little bit. And I thought, this might be interesting, just one of these, just see what it's like, own a car wash type of a deal. And it's really a real estate play. Car washes mean nothing. They're a business that could go, come and go and shut down in a minute if somebody didn't run it right and economy changed or whatever. But the real truth of it is it's a real estate play. It's, you've got a business on top of a piece of real estate, and the piece of real estate probably ends up being worth more than the business over some period of time. But as that goes, you know, I'm just looking at, okay, here's a decision. Maybe I'll just move a little money from here, from this, you know, accounts over here that are making money doing this, and move it over there, make, you know, a little bit higher rate of return and so forth. And that's kind of the decisions you make. We call that the family office, where you get up every month, or don't get up, you. We get up every day, man, not once a month. But where you go and you sit down with your finances, you look at them and you analyze them and you make some changes or not. Maybe you're happy with where your money's at, what it's doing. You've got perfect separation, perfect, you know, division of efforts within your money and so forth. And, you know, you used to make those decisions. Now, interestingly enough, this last week, I went to a seminar. I was a keynote speaker for a company called Marcus & Millichap, which is one of the largest brokerage firms in the country. And it was their Texas multifamily expo type deal. They had an event, and they had like panels, four, five, six panels of people discussing different topics. And I was on one of the panels, but then I was the keynote speaker at the end of it. And they asked me a bunch of questions about where I thought the market was going and so forth. What I said I don't think is as relevant, although I'll get to it, as what everybody else was saying. People were saying, well, I overpurchased back when the market was too high and the price of the real estate I own is too high right now. And so I'm not making any money with it. And because I'm not making any money with it, the people that have partnered with me are upset at me and they don't want to invest with me anymore because they're afraid I'm going to not make the money. You know, I'm going to lose the money or not make the money, one of the two. You know, some of them lost money, some of them just didn't pay distributions. And there was like five different panels, and each panel you saw that the multitude of people were bringing up that same argument, that same complaint, that same problem. And then when it got to my chance to speak, they asked me the same questions, and I said, no, it's absolutely the perfect time to buy because everybody else can't buy. The prices are 40 to 50% lower than they have been the last 3 years. And you should absolutely be out there buying them. But how are you getting investable capital? I go, because our investable capital didn't lose its investable capital. The ones that have not lost, either the new people invested that are getting in right now, or people that never made bad decisions, which there are lots of them. Remember that in a failure situation, it's about an 80-20, maybe 90-10. I don't know the exact numbers, but you know there are people that went out there and did it wrong. As I explained when I was at the address, I said, the beginners aren't the ones losing money. It's the guys that become what we call the Midas touch guys. They believe they cannot do wrong. And so they just keep buying even when the prices are way too high, the interest rates are too high. Everything is wrong to buy, and they keep buying because they want the fees that they get paid to do it. And so they get themselves upside down and whacked out, and now they can't buy. Now we're buying everything left and right. And I think it's really kind of an irritant to those people when they see that they thought they were the smartest people in the room. They were buying and buying and buying, and the other people weren't. And they're going, well, we're beating you out. We're getting these deals. You're not getting them. And we're now looking at it going, we're glad you did get them. We didn't. And, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but we were on the right side of front sight. You know, now they know what we knew then. They shouldn't have been buying that at that price. And so now the prices are down 40 to 50%. It's unbelievable. The buys out there are incredible. The time to buy is now. But now the problem is that they're gun-shy. They're shell-shocked. They don't want to get out there and buy. What if it happens again? It's always that, you know, once you've been burnt. And I remember it was really interesting. A guy sent me an email and said, I think it's time to buy. It was really funny because, of course, I'm on the same page. But he's like, we need to get out there and tell everybody to buy. And I said, of course, I'm on the same page. So we need to buy everything. And I said, whoop, stop right there. That's where it changes. And I remember that like an hour or two later, I saw a YouTube video which stated that what are the five biggest mistakes I made in bodybuilding, which you say has nothing to do with investing. No, it has everything to do with it. When you're a bodybuilder, you're trying to get bigger. Just like when you're a finance guy, you're trying to get more business. You're trying to get larger, own a larger portfolio. So as a bodybuilder, you're trying to get bigger. And so you buy and buy, or you eat and eat and eat and buy and eat and eat and eat. And one day you wake up and go, you know what? I'm fat. I own stuff I don't want. And on a bodybuilder, that's fat. You don't want it. In a business, it's all those businesses you bought that are not making any money and you want to divest them. Now you have to work hard because you're losing money maintaining those. And just like in a bodybuilder, when you want to get rid of the fat so you can go to a show, you have to starve yourself out and lean yourself down. And so that's what happens. And so this bodybuilder says, the second mistake I made was, one year I decided I'm not going to go through all that hassle. I'm just going to stay lean the whole year. Guess what happened at the end of that year? When we come back, I'll explain to you what happens when you are too conservative in your investment portfolio. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
New to real estate investing? At Lifestyles Unlimited, you'll learn how to get started with step-by-step education and real-world strategy. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing which way have you failed in your investment strategy? One of the ways is to overbuy. To buy when it's the wrong price, the wrong time, the wrong interest rate. You just make bad purchases. I'm buying all the time. Up market, down market, sideways market, doesn't matter. I'm buying. I'm looking for deals. Whenever a deal exists, I buy it. But a lot of people believe that you should try to time the market. So some people make the mistake of buying when the market's going up, and they're always paying more and more and more and more until they've overpaid for some portion of their portfolio. And I equated that to being the fat bodybuilder. And so eventually, if you've been the fat bodybuilder enough times and had to starvation diet to get the fat off to come back to being a real bodybuilder again, you finally give up on overbuying. And I see people that have gone through this now, and they're in my group where they overbought, they overpaid for stuff, and now they're going like, man, it's the real estate's bad, not me. No, your choices are bad. Real estate's great. Your choices were bad. So now they're afraid because now they think that, you know, you've got to hit the market just right. It's timing. And now the market's going down, and so their thought is, well, you can't catch a falling knife. And so their theory is, just like the fat bodybuilder goes, you know what, I'm not going to get fat again. I'm going to stay lean for a whole year. And by the time contest comes around again, I'll be lean and I won't have to starvation diet to get there. So he does that. And a year later, what happens is he's smaller than he was the year before because he's never been able to put on the weight and size that he needs from working out because he's always starving his body. Well, that's the same thing with the investor. Here you are a year later and you've got no more real estate than you had a year ago. You have no more passive income than you had a year ago. You have no more investments than you had a year ago. You've sat on the sideline for a year, but whenever things come up, they eat up your income. And so the money you normally would have put aside and put into investments, you just let sit there and then it gets spent. It's a weird thing about that. Money finds a way to get spent. Either you find a way to invest it and then it's gone out of your hands, or you find a way to spend it and it's gone out of your hands. Money doesn't seem to ever just hang around. And so here you are a year later, and you've been overly conservative. And now we're sitting here telling you, man, the marketplace is rocking and rolling. The prices are down 40 to 50%. It's time to buy. And you're going, oh, my God, what do I do? I overbought one time, and now I've underbought for a year. What do I do? Where do I go? That is the conundrum that most of you are sitting there with right now. You're going, I don't know what to do. And what I'm suggesting you do is get in here to Lifestyles, join up to the program, listen to my seminars. Let me explain to you how you actually analyze these deals, how to buy them when they are good deals, which right now the prices are all right back to where we can make good deals again, how to get in there and get it done. And what's happening, rather interestingly, is that since January, the volume of deals has quadrupled, if anything. I mean, I'm tracking exactly, but I would say in January, people would bring me 10 deals, and we'd say two of them make sense. By March, they'd bring me 10 deals, and we'd say, you know, maybe three of them made sense. By September, they'd bring me 12 deals now, and four of them made sense. But in the last week, what I've seen is they brought me like 12 deals, and six of them made sense. In other words, they're starting to make more sense. They're starting to be good deals we should buy. There's not only more of them out there, but they're more respectable deals, deals that should get done. And there's deals that I'm even interested in. I mean, people are bringing me deals and go, wow, that would be interesting to do. But of course, I'm helping them do their deals. I'm not doing my deals. However, I have to say, it's gotten me interested again. And like I said, I saw something, you know, just today that interested me on this car wash thingy. But irrespective of what I do, I have a massive portfolio of stuff, and it's well diversified. You should just focus on one or two good projects that make you enough money to be able to replace your earned income with passive income. So you, should you need that to happen, like right now. So it's really sad to say that some people are really suffering right now, and I'm not. And the people I know that are my friends and my investors, they're not suffering either. None of us are suffering. Everybody's losing their jobs. Businesses are shutting down. Layoffs are happening. But we don't work for anybody else. We're not getting shut down. We're not getting laid off because we don't have jobs. It's the craziest thing in the whole world. People ask me all the time, can I get your card? I go, I don't have a card. It's also almost like an insult to them. What do you mean you don't have a card? Like, I don't want to give it to them. No, I don't have a card. So why don't you have a card? I said, because I don't have a job and because there's no need for people to contact me to get in touch with me. My wife got me cards one time. I thought it was rather interesting. She wanted to really irritate me. So for Christmas, she got me a little card holder, knowing that I never use cards. And I said, what is this about? She goes, okay, open the other present. I opened the other present. It was a stack of cards. And on the stack of cards, I read it. It said, I'll call you. Which means I don't need a card. I'll call you. Here, I'll give you my card. I'll call you someday. The bottom line is that you either have passive streams of income or you don't. If you do and you're sitting here with us right now, then this government shutdown doesn't mean anything to you. If you have money to invest because you've made wise decisions, then the fact that the market is really at a good buying position right now, 40 to 50% below what it was 2 years ago, if you don't have any money, that means nothing to you. If you're broke and unemployed, that means nothing to you. If they've shut down the government on you, that means nothing to you. All of this massive opportunity that we're looking at right now and sharing with you over the radio, at the Marcus and Millichap event. All that opportunity I'm sharing with you, you can't participate in because you don't have any money or because you're psychologically destroyed from spending your money incorrectly, investing it incorrectly, and afraid that, you know what, I don't know why I failed then. I thought I did the right thing. I don't know that I know what I'm doing now. And the answer to all those questions, get in here. Let us show you how to do this. Let us show you how to do it right, the correct way, right? That's what you need to do and get started. Because who knows? In fact, you know, I really wonder how much longer the shutdown is going to go. And I say that because I see no political incentive on either side. If congressmen and senators and didn't get paid when the government was shut down, things would be different. But they're getting paid. There's no reason for them to open the government back up. The Democrats want the country to suffer so they can try to blame it on the Republicans. The Republicans want the Democrats to suffer so they can see, or the people to suffer because they can see that the Democrats are out of their minds. And that they're just anti-everybody. And that they're trying to spend $1.8 trillion on illegal aliens for welfare, for medical, for food stamps, for whatever it is. And so the two think they have grounds that they can stand on. They both think they have the grounds to stand on that just says, hey, let's let this thing go. Let's let it fly. I wonder how long it could go. It just boggles my mind. But to me, you're going to have welfare lines. In fact, there's already food lines starting to occur. And again, it's all sad. Nothing we can do about it. We've got these people you all elected. You elected them. I didn't elect these people. You elected them. And they're doing what they're doing. So maybe next time you elect better people. I don't know. But maybe next time I'll be even happier because I will have taken care of myself. When are you going to stop thinking that these people are going to take care of you and that you need to start taking care of you? Yeah. It's not that we're not benevolent. It's not that we don't have family and community and charity and church for many of you. It's not that. It's that we expect that everybody out there gets taken care of. And the world doesn't work that way. As soon as you make it a world where everybody gets taken care of, you will create marauders. You will have people taking over, plundering, stealing. Criminals will end up ruling the country. Because if you think that you can make everybody happy, you're going to end up making nobody happy. The solidity of our government, of our democracy, is based on business and economic stability. All right, let's see how much time we got left here. The next point I want to make is this marketplace is incredible right now. I've said that many times in this radio show today. I want to add one more thing, though. And this one's one you can take a little explanation for you to understand. Trump has passed and made permanent a law called bonus depreciation. Now, let me explain this to you. We can earn our real estate income tax-free. Now, let's call it tax-deferred, but what we do is we defer it for life until we die, and when we die, it goes away. So if you defer, and die, it ends up being tax-free. So when I say tax-free, understand your CPA is going to say it's tax-deferred. Yes, it is tax-deferred, but for us that do this professionally, we defer it forever. All right? So now, we used to be able to go out and buy a piece of real estate, and we'd have to put anywhere from 10% down, 20% down, 30% down, depending on what we're buying, right? And in some cases, for a single family, you can put even less than 10% down, but that's not really relevant to the point I'm making. The point is, it's a very small amount of the entire cost of the property. So we come out of pocket for that down payment. Then the ownership asset that we own can be depreciated over 27 and a half years if it's residential real estate. But that means we could take 1/27th of that number, whatever it's worth, and write that off each year. Well, that doesn't really get you anywhere when you're putting down 10 or 20 or 30%. But prior to Trump, you could do something else called cost segregation. Now, what cost segregation is you get a CPA, firm to go in there and analyze your piece of real estate and say, okay, some of this stuff isn't lasting 27 and a half years. Some of it's only going to last 5 years. Some of it's going to last 7 years. Some's going to last 10 years. And some of it's going to last 15 years. And the rest is all going to last 27 and a half years. So what you can do with cost segregation is take the things that fall into those categories and write them off over that period of time. So if you're writing something off over 5 years compared to writing it off 27 years, then bam, that's a much larger chunk. And hence, when you use cost segregation correctly, you could get anywhere from a 30 to as much as a 50 or 100% increase in the amount of depreciation that you could use. So now what happens is that you're going to put 10, 20, 30% down, and that with cost segregation, you're going to probably be able to cover most of that down payment money. So it comes out of your pocket, but at tax time, you get it back. Bizarre deal. Well, what Trump did was Trump created this thing called bonus depreciation, which says if you put a new asset into service this year, you can do the cost segregation report. And instead of writing the stuff off for 5, 7, and 10, and 15 years, you can write off everything that will wear out within 15 years, all within the first year. Now, probably impossible for you to understand the math there if you've not done this before, but if you have any idea about it, let me explain to you what it means. It means maybe you invest $300,000, or you invest $30,000, or you invest $3,000, and at the end of the year, you get that money back on your tax return. That's what it means. It is unbelievable. And that is in place right now. And the way he put it into law, it will stay in law until the Democrats can get in and get control of the House and the Senate and the presidency to be able to get it knocked out, because you're going to have to pass a law to get rid of it, right? It's tax law. And that would have to pass all chambers of, you know, the House and the presidency and the Senate, I believe. So, in other words, we know we got it for at least 3 more years. What I'm saying to you is, not only can you buy stuff 40 to 50% below where it was 2 years ago, you can get a cost segregation bump that you couldn't get 2 years ago. You now can get this bonus depreciation and take this massive write-off in the first year of owning it. So if you buy it this year, boom, you get to write it off in this year's taxes. That's unbelievable. If you understand that, it could mean literally, and I'm just going to give you a number, throw it at you, rich people are getting back millions and millions of dollars in tax return money. I know you don't believe that. It's hard to believe. It's true. And I know it's true because I have firsthand touched this type of a situation. And man, I'll tell you what, when it happens, it blows your mind. So whether you got back $10,000 and that's all you invested, or you got back $50,000 and that's what you invested, or if you got back $100,000 or $500,000, all those numbers are astronomical tax return numbers. Now, the ones where you get over $1 million, you have to have bought enough to make it be that large. But let's just take it back. You're going to be able to buy real estate this year for 40 to 50% less than you could have 2 years ago and write it off the first year. Now, if you don't see that as an incentive and a motivation to get going right now, to get in here and sign up and learn how all this works, you can do it the right way and not pay too much, learn how to operate the properties once you purchase them so they don't take you down after you own them. If you don't get in here and start learning to do this right now, you're missing out on one heck of an opportunity. Will it mean the end of the real estate world? You'll never touch it again? No, it's going to happen again and again and again and again. But right now, if you're sitting there and you're looking at this government shutdown and going, my gosh, what happens if it affects my company? What if we shut down? What if our division shuts down? What if I'm one of these people? If you don't ever want to have that fear again, you need to get down to Lifestyles Unlimited right now. And remember, it's not just for some money. It's for that quality of lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.